best part of college football offseason is that every team is undefeated, including yours. Get in touch with all our shows and tell us why your team is headed to the playoff at 654-ROAR, where every day is game day.
Final hour of the week with Faxon and John here on the Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in with us. Phone lines and Adams & Co. Roofing text line will be open throughout the remainder of the program, and we would love to hear from you. We're continuing to talk college football. We're continuing to talk NFL. Our guy Austin on the phone line, or on the text line rather, is continuing to push some propaganda that I'm not sure I can agree with, but I respect it, brother. I've never been one to hide from the bold take. If you're an Auburn and Texas A&M guy this year, you can be an Auburn and Texas A&M guy this year. More power to you. I think Auburn could end up being pretty good in a weird backwards way. So we'll see what happens. The SEC is, we'll say, tantalizing to say the least. There are a lot of teams that have quarterbacks and skill position players that are good enough to win 7-8 games. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to beat somebody. And somebody's got to lose these games as well, which is what we see with the whole narrative of the league being a gauntlet, right? Where it's you get in the middle of this conference slate, and all of a sudden Missouri beating Arkansas is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they just took down the 85 Bears on the road in Fayetteville. So looking forward to those narratives as we're almost back into the swing of things in college football season. But in all seriousness, if you got Auburn 9-3, it's not ridiculous to say that. It's not ridiculous to say that. I can see the vision. I will at least give you that at minimum. I can see the vision.
It'll be ridiculous when we wake up Saturday, August 30th, and they're 0-1 after a loss at Baylor.
Sawyer Robertson could get the job done for the Bears. Yeah,
Sawyer Robertson will get the job done for Baylor.
I'm interested to see, do we have an opening line in that game? Hold on, let me check on that real quick. John, we've got much more to discuss.
You know what? Because Austin just seems to be firing the thumbs away here. We'll go ahead and get to my Auburn fact or fiction.
Oh, perfect.
Fact or fiction. Hugh Freeze gets fired after Auburn misses a bowl game. And I'll follow it up one step further. Lane Kiffin actually takes the Auburn job this time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Fiction. I think that's what I'm going with. I think Hugh keeps his job for one more year.
Have you been seeing some of the scuttlebutt around the plains as of late? Because it sounds like the
I have to an extent, yes.
The man who likes to play moral police around every college campus he steps a foot on is not even doing football stuff right now, Faxon. He's going back to his Ole Miss ways, and he is spending every waking moment at the golf course trying to spite all the boosters who were telling him what to do.
I genuinely think that the funniest sentence in an article I have ever read is, according to AL.com, Freeze, parentheses, 5.9 handicap, logged 11 rounds since the start of June in the USGA's GHIN database. He exceeded the number of public rounds the system displays, meaning he played more than 20 rounds already this calendar year. We got people tracking his golf activity online.
It's not the first time, and it certainly won't be the last. And he'll have plenty of time to play golf starting December when he gets shown the door down at Auburn. I am sorry. I think that Jackson Arnold is not going to be the one to save you. I honestly think if Hugh Freeze was still in his bag calling plays, Ashton Daniels would make more sense for this offense than Jackson Arnold would.
That's a good
but
point.
But no, they threw $2 million at Jackson Arnold, so they're going to be forced to play him. I don't believe in him whatsoever. I like the wide receiver room. Yeah, I think really Cam good. Coleman is great. Perry Thompson is good. Eric Singleton, a nice bring over from Georgia Tech. I like the playmakers. I don't think the offensive line is very good. I don't think the running backs are very good. I don't think the defense is going to be all that special. And not to mention, there is not a coach that I take less seriously in the sport than Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think he is a used car salesman, and I'm not trying to be offensive to used car salesmen. I think the man is a con artist. He's an embarrassment to the profession, if you really want my honest opinion.
He's a massive hypocrite.
I don't think there's a lot of substance to this program. And also, what was the one thing that he touted when he got this job? that no one was going to be able to out-recruit Auburn. They're like in the 60s right now.
Yeah, it ain't looking great.
Outside of those couple good receivers you got a couple classes ago, what are you doing?
You know what that screams to me? That screams well dried up. If we're just being honest, you don't go from top five recruiting class to outside the top 50 if the well didn't dry up. Somebody got pissy that you didn't get results last year with all the big-time bucks that you spent on the recruiting cycle, and they said, you know what? I'm going to rescind my $3 million pledge to your NIL payroll this year. And then he probably got a couple other of his buddies to pull out with him. That's probably what happened here, if we're being honest, because, listen, I don't like Hugh either. I think he's a hypocrite. I think he's a clown, just as you're alluding to, John. And for me, like, the moral policing of people for him, of all people, is very, very hypocritical. They are 77th in 247 Sports right now in team recruiting rankings, behind Temple.
And this is after all the official visits when he's rolled out the red carpet for how many recruits?
Exactly. So how did you go from 8th in the country, then you supplemented that with 6th in the country, and it's like, okay, this is what
This is the year he's supposed to deliver,
right? Like, this is what we were you know, sold the dream of getting Hugh Freeze to the Plains, and, respectfully, I had no need to know Hugh Freeze's handicap at any point in my life, much less in the midst of a recruiting cycle where he's 77th in the rankings. Like, there's no way that this can be stealing the storylines if you're a serious program. For what it's worth, I don't think Auburn's going to be all that bad this year, but if you're talking about building and you're talking about for the future, maybe I have to rescind my fact or fiction, because if the bottom does fall out of this thing and you are outside of the top 50 in recruiting, what is the incentive in keeping him as your head coach at that point?
Thank you. Because all the reasons he told you had to hire him, he's not doing. And now let's look at the schedule. At Baylor to start. I don't think they're winning that game. I think Sawyer Robertson is going to chuck it all over the lot against this defense. You have Ball State at home. You have South Alabama at home. You should be able to win both of those games, although we've seen Auburn lose hysterical games in the past. Then after that, they have to go to Oklahoma and to Texas A&M.
Goodness.
Two teams that I'm buying their momentum more for the 25 season than I'm buying Auburn. All right, so now you're, in my opinion, I think they're going to drop all three of those games on the road. So you're 2-3 to the bye week, and then you host Georgia. Okay.
Mm.
Newsflash, I think Georgia's going like 11-1.
Yes, yeah,
So now you're at 2-4 and you're in the middle of October. Is Hugh Freeze the guy who's going to turn this thing around? When we've seen the team throw in the towel the last couple years?
So
then you go, you're hosting Missouri right after the Georgia game.
That's not a guarantee.
No. You go to Arkansas, Kentucky, and then at Vanderbilt. You're more talented than those teams. You should win. But if you're 2-5, I'm not going to give you 3 in a row. Then you have the bye week Mercer, and you host Alabama. I think this is a 5-7 football team that's looking for a football coach in December.
This ain't looking great. I'm not going to sit here and lie.
Austin, I appreciate the energy this morning, but I do not see the vision.
I'm closer to 7-5. Okay, this is what I'll say. If they can find a way to just play average to slightly above average defense, this team could be good. I'm buying the offense. Let me just come out and say, regardless of who's playing quarterback, Ashton's our guy. Arnold's pretty decent as well, and I think probably got a raw shake in totality because, to be honest, he's a friend of the program, and I love the dude to death. Brent really screwed up that offensive coordinator hire, and he said so himself. He made a great hire this offseason and has a great quarterback coming in, but unfortunately, a part of that bad hire was the hindering of development of Jackson Arnold. Now, I'm not sitting here banging the drum for Jackson Arnold. I don't think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Probably significantly overrated in the recruiting rankings compared to what his actual talent level looks like. But if there's a guy that can whip it up with anybody, it's Hugh. We got to give him a little bit of credit where it's due.
When was the last time we've seen Hugh Freeze truly be innovative in the offensive space?
It's probably been
a decade.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do it. I mean, he was able to amass more talent at Liberty than the rest of Conference USA. Well, so was Jamie Chadwell.
That's true.
And so will the coach after Jamie Chadwell.
So you think it's going back to the Ole Miss days the last time where Hugh was innovative, at least the way that you view it?
In my opinion, yes.
They also, people kind of have like a little bit of a revisionist history towards the tail end of that Liberty tenure for Hugh. I don't really see the vision here with Hugh Freeze specifically. Like, this isn't, This isn't at Austin on the text line who thinks Auburn could be good. I think Auburn could be good, too. I love those wide receivers. Like, I'm in love with Cam Coleman. I think that dude is an unbelievable player. I think you're talking about, like, future lottery NFL pick in Cam Coleman. I think Singleton's unbelievable. I like this O-line. I like the crop of running backs. They have some retaining talent on defense. Like, they got a lot of dudes coming back and a little bit more of experience. I could sell myself on this to a certain extent. I probably couldn't sell myself to 9-3. You could sell me 7-5 and maybe 8-4 on a good day, and I think they've got a chance to beat Bama because that game's always weird. But Hugh Freeze kind of gets rose tint when we look back on his career and you start asking the question, what has he actually won? And the answer is nothing of substance.
Thank you. I've been shouting that for a decade.
He's won nothing of substance.
No, like, but he beat Alabama 2 times in the regular season. And believe me, if he ever gets an opportunity to tell you, he's going to tell you that he beat Alabama in 14 and 15.
He regressed in his last 2 years as the head coach at Liberty and then got a better job at Auburn, which again, like, Freeze is probably good enough to be a lower tier P4 coach, which is kind of what Auburn is right now. But the SEC, with what the expectations are at that program, maybe they do cut bait after this year, John. Maybe I'm changing my take in real time here because this is just such a weird dynamic for me. I really am buying the roster, the offense specifically, but I can't stand Hugh and I'm not a believer in him. And that's where I'm torn and at kind of a crossroads here. So maybe y'all can help me out. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. I think Auburn has upside. I like the upside. I'm buying the upside. I like Arnold Daniels. I like both of them. I like Cam Coleman. I like Singleton. I don't know if I trust the man in charge. It's the same thing for me with Miami every year, and why I always struggle to buy into Miami in totality is because I don't trust the man on the sidelines on game day with the clipboard. Do I think Cristobal's one of the best recruiters in the country? Duh. Does he establish the trenches at an all-time level? Yep. Is he a great leader of men that generally has a good culture at his programs? Yep, he checks all the boxes.
But I'm glad you said leader of men because we're putting together a coaching staff of Hugh Freeze and DJ Durkin.
I was going to say, the difference between Cristobal and Freeze is that Cristobal says all the right things off the field, checks all the boxes, he just isn't great on game day, whereas Hugh Freeze isn't checking any boxes except his scorecard, which he's probably lying on knowing his integrity, and taking mulligans. Because I'm not buying the 5.9 handicap. I'll just go out and say it. I'm not buying that.
Well, no, he did have a lot of time after he got fired at Ole Miss to play a lot of golf, so maybe he did get the thing down. And I mean, you brought in longtime Ole Miss yes man Derek Nix to run the offense. I just there's nothing here that I buy. And I understand that there's a lot of people out there who can see the path, who can see the vision. I love the wide receiver room.
Wide receiver room is
loaded. I think whoever you decide to play at quarterback is an upgrade from Peyton Thorne. But that's not saying much. This is a man and a coach that I will never take seriously. And I've been to Auburn several times. I like Auburn. I will never take Auburn seriously as a program until they remove this man from being the head coach. That's just my personal stance on it. I don't think he should have ever been given this job. I think he weaseled his way into it, and now Auburn's having to pay the price.
All right, so I've got a question for you on the Auburn front, and then I want to take an early break so we can get Billy and Greer a little bit more time so we don't have to cut them off after 1 minute. And this is not related to football at all, but it will set the plate for like the upcoming segment and I'm sure get the text line going. I've met like 4 separate people that I would deem Clemson outsiders, meaning they aren't from the upstate or aren't from didn't grow up a fan, and they all say the same thing, which is that Auburn is very identical to Clemson. They just don't have the lake. Is that narrative true? Because I've never actually stepped foot on campus, so I'm like asking the peanut gallery here.
You could tell that there was a similar architect used.
Okay,
for certain. Yeah, no, there's a lot of similarities. I think that you're not the.
I've heard it's gorgeous too.
No, it's a very pretty campus. Game day's a fun time at Auburn.
Oh yeah,
I've been down there twice for the 2 times Clemson's been down there. Enjoyed it very much. It's a personal thing with me and Hugh Freeze. I just don't believe him to be a very serious football coach.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says, I think they're a 7-8 win program unless they have a game changer at QB. It's kind of where I'm at. I think I'm in the 7. I think I'm at 7 right now. Schedule's going to be hard in the SEC. And your defense is really going to have to punch above their weight considering what the expectations are coming into the season. Again, not to say it can't be done. It's early. It's June 27th. But Auburn's definitely got some work cut out for them. And if this thing goes poorly this year, with the way that the recruiting is trending, with the offseason storylines that and the way that those are being built up, like it sucks to put it this way, John, but every time something goes on the internet as a documented article or a storyline, especially when you're in a position like that, it will be used against you. So you can bet your butt if they want to fire Hugh Freeze this offseason, they will be pointing to something like, why are we 66th in recruiting rankings and you're playing golf 11 times in 2 weeks?
For the record, his buyout after the 25 season is exactly what the house settlement payment is, $20 million. Do you want to fund athletes on your campus, or do you want to fire your football coach? It's always fun down in Auburn.
Always a fun time down at the Plains. And Texter gets in and says, there's no comparison. They don't say there's something in those Plains for a reason. Great point. Great point, Texter. Great point. Before we take a quick break and get to Billy on the other side, you need to go with Morgan Coleman for your real estate needs. She's a women's soccer alum, a native of the area, and an expert of the area as well. She's hung up her cleats and her playing days are over, but now she's assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville area with a very team-oriented approach. Her goal is to provide her clients with a peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their lives, and those important decisions are really important to get out ahead of. You want to have early conversations. You don't want to be in a weird situation from a timeline perspective where you're having to rush to buy or sell a home. Let Morgan Coleman do the stressful work for you because she's the expert, folks. You can get with Morgan Coleman at 864-313-7639 or just search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. We're continuing to talk college football. I'm ready to spot it in Death Valley right now for Clemson and LSU 2 months in advance. We're going to get to Billy and Greer on the other side and continue to talk some SEC and also shift gears to some NFL at some point in the final hour of the show. Stick with us.
Here in the Upstate, we take care of each other. As your local internet provider, that's Upcountry Fiber's promise to you. We're proud to bring you a connection strong enough to handle anything, like the Zoom interview for your dream job, streaming the newest TV show, or all your grandkids and their devices descending on your home. Upcountry Fiber brings up reliable internet service for your kids' virtual school day or remote work-from-home job, even in the most rural areas. Upcountry Fiber, a stronger connection starts here. Learn more today at upcountryfiber.com.
Discover the best-kept golf and dining secret located in Oconee County off I-85 at Exit 1. Chickasaw Point, with breathtaking golf on the hills course to scrumptious dining at Overlook Restaurant and Bar. It's unlike any golf course you've played anywhere in the Upstate. Reserve Overlook Restaurant for a meeting, wedding, birthday, or anniversary. Enjoy lunch and dinner selections from executive chef Amanda Lewis. For Overlook, go to ChickasawPoint.com, and for golf, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
When your loading dock equipment or garage doors aren't working properly, your business can come to a halt. That's where American Doormasters comes in. We specialize in the repair and maintenance of loading dock equipment, from dock levelers to door seals, ensuring your operation runs smoothly and efficiently. Need a new garage door or spring replacements, openers, or routine tune-ups? We've got you covered. Fast, reliable service to keep your business moving. Call American Doormasters at 864-990-3075 or visit AmericanDoormasters.com for expert service and repairs. We'll get you back on track quickly.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Concerned about a potential gas leak at home? No worries. Fort Hill Natural Gas, your safety-focused energy provider, has you covered. Natural Gas, renowned for its safety and reliability, ensures your household comfort while it's colorless and odorless. We've added a distinctive rotten egg scent for instant leak detection. If you ever smell a gas odor, act fast and call the Fort Hill Natural Gas office immediately. For more safety tips, visit fhnga.com.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Evan Cohen here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with promo code USL to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
From the lake to the locker room, stay locked in with Clemson football coverage all summer long, only on The Roar.
Final hour of the program continues with Faxon and John on The Roar. It's good to say program again. Feels like we're in football season when we refer to it as the program. 654 Roar if you want to check in. Let's get Billy and Greer in here. We've been talking college football. We've been all around the horn with some fact or fiction, talking SEC, and always enjoy chatting with our favorite Gamecock fan and Billy. Billy, how we doing? You got us, Billy? Put Billy on hold real quick and see if we can get him back up there. If you want to check in, 654 Roar, we're going to read off some texts here. Texter gets in on Cristobal saying the clock beats him. Yeah, good point. Another texter gets in and says if they want to fire him, they'll find a way to fund both, relating to Hugh Freeze and Auburn. Also probably believe that to be the truth, but man, it is a lot of financial pressure having to commit $20 million to your athletes each and every year, regardless of what happens. And that could, it could... Not saying it will in this specific case of Freeze. It could extend some coaches' livelihoods a little bit longer than maybe it should going into the future.
Maybe, but we're talking about the SEC.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a league that did not have one coach change over last cycle.
That is very true, which is insane. But yeah, that is very true.
So there are going to be... There will be some openings. They're just, we're not going to go two seasons in the SEC without one coach change.
It feels like we could definitely have a speculatory topic for a future program on that, on some SEC hot seat, if you will, John. So let's save that for next week, and maybe we can dive into the weeds of the SEC and who could be on the hot seat. Let's try Billy again here on the phone lines. Billy, we got you now.
Hey, I'm sorry. No, you had me. I just had you on mute because I was driving and I was listening to you guys. Apologize about that. Anyways, first of all, you know, I've never set foot in a building at the University of Auburn, so I can't speak to that. But I can tell you, geographically, it looks nothing like this area. It's flat, and
okay. It's
anything but flat here. So
that's true. There's something in these hills.
Yep. Yes, exactly, I guess. There is something in these hills because I'm here. So
there you go. We got Billy
there
in the hills.
Go. I guess, yeah, exactly. I guess you can – well, there's hillbillies here. You know, I'm a hillbilly, so there you go. Earlier you were talking about South Carolina, and I was listening, and, I know you guys are trying to be as fair as you can, and I think you've been fair in your assessments, honestly. Even last year when you thought you just calling it the way you see it, you know, sometimes we're wrong. Listen, I was wrong. I'm one of those people. I was optimistic, and I'm not always that way with South Carolina because I'm a realist. I just thought they were going to be much better. I don't think that the season before that was as bad as the record indicated. They just needed a break or two here, and they would have probably been 7-5 the year before.
Yeah.
But I thought they were going to be 7-5 last year, and I ended up being two games off in a 12-game sample size. That's not good. So,
yeah.
So we were all wrong. You guys wasn't the only ones. I had some connections down there, and they were people telling me that Sellers was doing things as a true freshman. You know, they redshirted him in practice that they'd never seen any quarterback, and really not too many athletes at the University of South Carolina were doing. And I just really believed in him. Now, I didn't think that they were going to be able to win that many games because I was with you guys. I thought the defense was going to be better. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was.
Yeah, that defense was insane.
And I think it was complimentary football that showed some of that. Now, they did get a lot of those guys drafted, whether it be in the draft or through free agency, but a lot of those guys are going to be on an NFL roster, it looks like, next year or this year coming up. So there was some talent there. But, you know, I go to Walt when I start listening about talent evaluations, because I've listened to this station for 30 years. I've called in those 30 years, and I think that man has a true eye for talent. And he's seeing that, watching some of the guys that they're bringing in this year and that are already still on the roster, that this reminds him of the 2010 to 2012 runs. I believe that, because if you start looking at the recruiting rankings, and they're not the be-all, end-all, because those are missed sometimes, there's no doubt about that. 24/7 has done an updated recruiting ranking where they're not just looking at incoming freshmen, they're looking at junior college transfers and other transfers, yeah. And they also take into consideration what you lose via the draft, graduation, and via the portal. That updated ranking from last year for South Carolina was 11th, which is much higher than they usually are. They're usually somewhere between 15 and 25. So, you know, when you're in the SEC, you guys know this, when Clemson's on your schedule yearly, like South Carolina has that, every one of those positions matter. I truly believe this year, unless Sellers gets hurt, and, you know, we can't forecast those things, because that's true at Clemson also, that their floor is 8-4 and their ceiling is 10-2.
I understand the vision here. I think South Carolina's got a chance to get to either of the records indicated, but on the 8-4 floor, I guess my next question would be, and I know if you're driving, we can help you with the schedule. Where are your 8 guarantees? Because when I hear floor, I hear guarantees. Like, I would say Clemson has a floor in the 8-9 win range, because there's only 8 or 9 that I'm comfortable giving. Like, Georgia Tech could get weird. You play Louisville on the road on a Friday night. Like, when I hear floor, I hear gimmies, and I don't know if I see 8 gimmies for South Carolina, but I do think you have a lot of reasons to be confident coming into the year. Like, you know, you mentioned Walt, and like, yeah, like, Walt knows his stuff, obviously. We all do. Like, we all get stuff right, we all get stuff wrong, and that's part of what makes it great, and yeah, I mean, South Carolina's got a good team this year, and they got a good roster, but 8-4 floor might be a bit bullish. I could see them getting to 8-4. Who would you think that the 8 are coming over for sure? If you need me to read the schedule off, I can. You start with Virginia Tech. I assume you think that's going to be a win, and I agree. I think that's going to be a win for the Gamecocks.
Yes, I think it's probably going to be a higher-scoring game, and South Carolina finds a way to win.
For sure.
Let me just say one quick thing before we go through this. You know, I'm not sure that I can tell you who I definitely think the eight games are going to be. I get what you're saying. You're not wrong about that, because there's not 8 sure wins just by doing this. I agree with that.
Right.
I just feel like when you've got the best player on the field and he's a quarterback,
yeah,
and that's going to be the case, you know, let's just take Klubnik out. So the 11 other games, is there anybody that's got a quarterback that's comparable? I guess you could say Nussmeier also. Outside of that, is there anybody else that Sellers is not better at quarterback? I feel like that puts you in position to have a chance to win those games.
Yeah, no, now, I agree with you. I think that the only other one would be even remotely in the same stratosphere would be Mateer for Oklahoma, and I do think Oklahoma is going to be really good, but to your point, like, Sellers is going to be the best player on the field in pretty much every game he plays all season, and speaking from an objective standpoint, that gives you a chance to win every game when he has the running ability and the dynamic ability that he possesses. I think that's fair.
If you ask me what games I'm the most worried about, I can pinpoint those without even looking at the schedule. At Missouri, at LSU, Clemson, obviously, and then there's one more away game. That
is it
I
at
think is
Ole
very
Miss?
Difficult. At Ole Miss, that's the 4. I think if they can just go 2-2 in those games, they'll win the rest of them. And they may drop one to the schedule outside of that. But let's say they go 2-2, that still puts them at 9-3. Now, you can say, well, they may lose all 4 of those games, and they may. But I just don't think with Sellers on the field, if he's healthy, they're going to lose all 4 of those games.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, South Carolina proved last year throughout the course of the season that they're capable of hanging with and beating some of the best teams in the country. So I think it's fair to say that they're going to have that level of standard in play again this year. I don't think a reason I like backing South Carolina to a certain degree, well, like would be the wrong word. A reason why I'm confident backing South Carolina in games is because they don't get blown out. They got blown out one time last year. It was by Ole Miss, and it was because Beamer screwed it up early with the fake punt, and the momentum shifted bad. They were right in that Bama game. They were right in that LSU game. So, like, I understand the vision and the logic here, Billy. I don't think you're wrong in a lot of what you're saying. When you have the best player on the field, he plays quarterback, he has a good roster with continuity around him on offense. You did lose some on defense, but you would like to think that your coordinator can kind of coach him up like he did last year, and the schedule is easier at the beginning and gets tougher, which would indicate that maybe you're forming your identity as a team as the schedule gets tougher, which could be advantageous. I think there's a path. I understand. I'm a little lower than you are, which would be expected given what our allegiances are. But I don't think that your points are wrong. Like I love Sellers. He's going to be the best player on the field in 11 of the 12 games, and him and Klubnik are neck and neck for the best in the country, in my opinion, man. I like South Carolina this year. I think they're bowl eligible at absolute minimum in every scenario, and I think they probably find a way to get to 8 or 9.
Yep. Listen, I agree with all of that. Me and you are probably on the same page. I'm sure you're probably one less win than I am, and that's okay, like you said, with the allegiances. That makes sense. Here's my last point. I get why everyone's worried about the defense. I think the players, the new players that are coming in are going to be better in 4 years or 3 years than the ones that just got drafted or went to the NFL or even graduated. That's not opinion. Secondly, I do think there's going to be a drop-off in defense. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Yeah. I do definitely see that. But I think the offense is going to pick that up, and it's going to look similar because the offense is going to be so much better. That's just where I'm speculating. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, I appreciate the time, and I can't wait. Once we get to the end where the NHL is over, NBA is over, and college baseball is over, to me it's football season.
Oh, yeah, it's football season, brother. Amen. Hey, appreciate you checking in as always, Billy. Enjoy the conversation. Yes, sir. 654-ROAR is the number. And yeah, like Billy, again, Billy's a Gamecock guy. We're on the Clemson flagship, and we try and keep it as objective as possible. I'm probably in 7-5, 8-4 territory right now for South Carolina. I think that seems fair. I lean more towards what Billy was talking about with dropping one of the straight games. He leads more towards them going to – that just is what it is, John. But I think we can all probably come to agreement that South Carolina is going to be in a bowl game this year, more than likely, provided they stay healthy, and they've got a good chance to build on what was a really overachieving season last year.
Certainly. I guess my big questions on this team, and it walks out for a couple minutes here, and I start looking at defensive personnel. I love Dylan Stewart, but you don't have a Kyle Kennard on the opposite side. He got a lot of single coverage, if you will, from offensive lines due to, you know, what you had on the other side. But now Kyle Kennard's in the NFL.
Yeah.
Is Brian Thomas Jr. ready to be that guy? Is Damon Clowney going to be that guy? Yeah, I don't know. Mezzaloo, I'm not sure. I think that there's a little bit of a step back at defensive tackle this year from last year's squad. I don't think the linebackers for South Carolina last year got near enough credit for as good as they were.
They were so good. Yeah.
I mean, that defense got a ton of credit up and down, but I think the linebackers were the real thing that made that entire defense work, the way that they were able to stop the run and play coverage in the pass. Those guys were elite. You know, I worry about a Nick Emanwori now being off to the NFL. I like Jalen Kilgore. He's been playing some nickel and started pretty much every game since he's been in Columbia. But is he ready to kick back to go play free? I think so, but I'm not 100% sure. So then you have to upgrade the nickel spot as well. And Brandon Sis was a nice transfer add, but I saw him get cooked at NC State a few different times.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about the defensive personnel. That is my big question about this team this fall. I believe that I agree with you and Billy. In 11 of the 12 games, and we can make an argument about the 12th, that they'll have the best player on the field in quarterback Lenore Sellers. But I talked about it earlier, I'm still hesitant about Josh Simon's replacement.
Yeah.
Jordan Dingle didn't do a lot at Kentucky. Michael Smith is a true sophomore, so I'm not sure what you have in that tight end room. And if Faison doesn't get the waiver, then I worry about it being too much on the shoulders of Lenore Sellers to carry this team. I think he has the right mindset to do it. I think he is willing and able to do it. But over 12 games in this schedule, you open yourself up to some injury. Now, I do applaud Shane Beamer here. I think he was aggressive this past offseason in making sure that if something happened to Lenore Sellers, that Perry Orr's situation wasn't going to happen again. You weren't going to Publix to grab somebody who was bagging groceries to come play quarterback. You have Aaron Nolan, you have Cutter Woods. Like, you have insurance plans I think you can make the case that they have one of the better total quarterback rooms in the SEC those guys.
It's the country, so yeah.
They have some players there. To me, it's about the defensive personnel.
Yeah.
If Clayton White, I'm not saying that he's going to get out of this defense what he got last year. I don't think you can. But if he can turn this defense into a top 30, 35 unit nationally with Lenora Sellers, then I think some of the things that you and Billy are talking about with that record, I think becomes obtainable.
And when I look at last year for South Carolina, I don't want to get away, and we had a couple texts that get in, so I want to throw a couple things at you, John, before we take our final break. We can unpack on the other side, then we'll go around the horn if that's cool with you. The term sophomore slump has been used a couple times on the text line. I'm not sure what my opinions are on that, because if we want to play that game, Cade Klubnik completely just threw that narrative out the window in his second year as a starter full-time. Like, he improved drastically. Now, that wasn't his quote-unquote sophomore year, but Lenoris redshirted. It's essentially the same thing. Neither of them played 1 year. Then they started for their first year as a starter. Sophomore indicates it's your second full year at something. This is his sophomore year as far as I'm concerned, as was Cade's last year. Is there any level of hesitation for you that there is more tape available now on Sellers than ever? There is no Rocket Sanders in the backfield, who accounted for almost 1,200 yards right, and 13 total touchdowns. And you combine that with the fact that this offense really struggled at the beginning of last season and had to have this finding an identity process where the defense carried them. That's kind of where my brain's going when I'm starting to ask questions.
It's very much in play. Yeah. It is very much in play, because you don't have the defense that's still going to be trying to figure itself out. And we saw in the bowl game, man, when you tried to make Lenora Sellers a pocket passer, it was not it. And if Faison does not get the waiver, so therefore you're having Attaway and Augustave and like a weird combination of backs back there. And teams, because if you remember, we saw it with some with DJ and early Cade. If they don't respect your run game, they're going to sit in too high and make you throw into it. They're going to sit in soft zone and make you try to pick it apart. That's how it comes. That's how it falls apart. If Nick Harbor doesn't take that next step, if Mazio Bennett doesn't take that next step, you know, if out of these, what, five freshman wide receivers, if one guy's not ready to help contribute, if Jared Brown's not ready to finally deliver, like, yeah, there's ways that this thing can stagnate, especially with Mike Shula calling the plays.
I was gonna say,
I don't know. I'm not going to lean on the side of that. That's going to be the game in, game out situation for the Gamecocks.
I agree. That would be my only hesitation with buying stock right now. Would be first year play caller. They sputtered at the beginning of the year offensively and almost lost to ODU last year and took a while to get the ball rolling. This year, your schedule isn't as cushy because you're starting out with Virginia Tech, who, again, don't think they're going to be very good. They're capable enough to beat you if you screw up and turn the ball over three times. That's for certain. Then you have to play Vanderbilt on the 13th, who's a hungry, talented team. Then at Mizzou, Drinkwitz owns Beamer and did until last year to with the tune of an undefeated record. Beamer's also never won in Columbia, Missouri. And you got to go on the road. So there are paths here to sell stock. I still think Carolina gets to 7-5, 8-4 in that range. I'm high on Sellers. I've mentioned that. But I don't think this is a shoe-in lock that they're just going to pick up right where they left off. Or maybe that's not the best term because of the bowl game, but who really cares? Pick up where they left off against Clemson in that back half of the season against Missouri and whatnot, and just, you know, seamlessly transition into the new year. I do think there's going to be roadblocks and adversity at some point, especially with a new play caller. Final segment of the program on the other side. Ton of texts to get to. Keep flooding those text lines at 654-ROAR.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app, and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
When you need plumbing and drain services, call Roto-Rooter and get the problem fixed fast. Roto-Rooter is locally owned and operated. We've been making troubles go down the drain since 1935, and you can count on us for reliable service at your home or business. Call 1-800-GET-ROTO. That's 1-800-GET-ROTO, or schedule service online at rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go trouble. goes down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
For a move that's as smooth as it is affordable, trust Tiger Moving Company. Our team of highly trained professionals is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service, making your transition stress-free. Recognized with multiple awards, we are Greenville's top choice for reliable moving services. Don't let moving be a hassle. Visit our website, tigermovinggreenville.com, or call 908-9028 today to experience the Tiger difference. Tiger Moving Company, where your move is our mission.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Clemson fans, this is your store. The Tiger Sports Shop has the best selection of Clemson apparel, accessories, and game day essentials. Nike, Lululemon, polos, hoodies, hats, tees, you name it, we've got it. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or visit us online anytime at tigersports.com. Don't just cheer for the Tigers, wear your pride. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters.
Go Tigers!
Spring is a time of growth, but it can also reveal hidden problems beneath your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist for a free inspection of the cracks in your walls, uneven floors, and sticking doors. These are signs you shouldn't ignore. Canty provides expert solutions to protect your home. Visit CantyCanFixIt.com or call 864-403-5263. Canty Foundation Specialists.
Canty Can Fix It.
Hi friends, Mickey Potter here. I want to encourage you to join us Monday, the last day of June, from 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Potter Show right here on The Roar. After a bad sports weekend, we're still going to review the Braves and the Phillies series. We'll review maybe a Clemson football commitment. But let's be serious. Since it's July, basically, let's talk some football. All college football talk. We'd love to hear from you. The Mickey Potter Show, Monday, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on The Roar.
Are you incensed that you missed one of our daily shows?
And what do we have? We have an altercation of some sort down in the field. Shane Beamer is incensed, irate about something.
Stay calm. You can listen to all of our past shows at theroarfm.com and click on the podcast tab.
Final segment of the week. If you want to beat the buzzer, 654-ROAR is the number. That was probably the perfect time for the Shane Beamer reintroduction to the program to play. John, so nice work there. That was so funny, man. That whole bowl game experience was hilarious last year. 654-ROAR if you want to check in and hitting the bulimia there.
You're not allowed to do that anymore. It's a penalty.
That's a penalty.
That is a penalty. You cannot do that anymore.
516 gets in with the South Carolina question, and we're going to wrap the South Carolina discourse here save it for another day and save it for next week, John, and then we can go around the horn and shift gears here in the final segment. Texter says, do they have a better quarterback when playing both LSU and Clemson? I would say LSU, yes. Clemson, no. I think that all three are pretty comparable as of right now, and I think that, you know, it's a whatever floats your boat type of situation, right? Like, these are three completely different profile players.
Right.
Nussmeier's your traditional pro style, big arm, big frame. Sellers is like the Cam Newton regen is what people are calling him, and then Klubnik's just consistent, accurate, and mobile.
I think they're within the respective offenses they should be.
Yeah.
I don't think Garrett Nussmeier would be all that successful in the South Carolina offense.
I 100% agree with that. I think,
and I don't know how successful Lenora Sellers would be in the LSU offense. You think you would be, but you just don't know. So I think there's a little bit of, like, you know, schematic difference here as well within, yeah, in, you know, what these teams are running.
I'm going to whisper, because he's the week one opponent, Garrett Nussmeier's overrated. I think Garrett Nussmeier is really overrated.
As a college player or as an NFL prospect?
As a college player specifically, unrelated to my view of him in the National Football League for a potential
team. Because if we're talking
year.
Like power ranking college football quarterbacks, I'm going Klublik, Sellers, Nussmeier. But if we're talking about the NFL draft in 2026, it's Nussmeier, Klubnik, and then it'd be Sellers because he's not draft eligible, I don't believe. I think he would have to come back for one more year.
Yeah,
No, wait.
Sellers is his third. Okay. Yes, he can go.
I stand corrected. That's now, right. There was so much true freshman talk last year when he was a redshirt freshman that I get confused.
I also, it does feel worth acknowledging as well that Sellers has got a ways to go as a passer, and it's not
absolutely.
Discounting him as a player at all. Again, this
but as
is
a
his
college
second year starting.
Football player.
Yes. I would take Klubnik,
with his
Sellers,
run game
Nuss in that order.
Right.
We're in agreement there? Klubnik,
yes.
Sellers, Nuss in that order for college, but NFL, different ballgame.
It's inverted, yeah.
Like, when I look at Nussmeier last year, and I mentioned this like this past offseason when we were doing a lot of our shows. So, 29 touchdowns, 12 picks for an LSU team that was underwhelming, 4,000 yards. He had a good season. I think Garrett Nussmeier is good. Six of those touchdowns came against Nichols. Three of those touchdowns came against UCLA. Two of those touchdowns came against South Alabama. If you want to look at his SEC-only stats, they are not very good, just to be blunt. Now, that's not saying that he didn't have good games, right? We all remember the Kyron Lacy game where they had an unbelievable job of beating Ole Miss. May he rest in peace. And we all also remember a couple other good games towards the end of the season, like OU, right, where he goes for three touchdowns. But for whatever reason, Nuss gets the stinker pass. And what I mean by that is, when the guy plays great, you're going to see the highlight tape everywhere. When the guy plays poorly, he doesn't get the slander that Klubnik or Sellers get for whatever reason. I don't know why, but maybe it's just the circles I'm in. I don't see a ton of Garrett Nussmeier slander. I thought he was garbage against Alabama. I thought he lost them the Florida game with his inconsistent play. 27 for 47 against that Florida team? You put up 16 points against Florida? That Florida team? The same one we were watching every week? Man, and then Texas A&M throws three interceptions. Listen, Nussmeier is a top 10 prospect in the NFL draft. He's a top 5 quarterback in college football. I'm not sitting here saying the kid can't play. He's coming into Death Valley week one, and I'm not trying to add any bulletin board material on anyone else's behalf, and I'm sure Coach Sweeney would not be happy if he knew I was calling his opponent's quarterback overrated right now, 2 months out of the game. But that's my opinion. He threw the majority of his touchdowns last year, almost half of his total touchdowns against non-SEC teams, and was right at that 1-to-1 line with TD to INT ratio actually within SEC play. It was closer than I would like to see. I think the kid can play. I don't think he's as finished of a project or product yet, John, as many like to believe. I think people get too obsessed and enamored with the traits in the arm, and that makes them believe that he's this super distinguished and polished prospect. I think he's got a little bit of ways to go with processing and accuracy, as does everybody, but I'm not as high on Nussmeier as many across the country. I think there were four or five quarterbacks I would take over him right now if I were just ranking my personal hierarchy.
There you go.
Just my opinion. Just my opinion. I would take Sellers over Nussmeier as well, for what it's worth. So 654 Roar is the number. We've got 9 minutes left in the week, John. Where are we going around the horn?
We're going to Truist.
Let's go. I'm excited for this weekend. I might try and get to the game tomorrow. I think the Braves are going to win tonight. I'll go ahead and say that. I know you said that earlier in the program and how you're going to have to kind of carry some of the positive light. I will say this. The Braves are minus 180 on the money line. That was very shocking to me to see the Braves that heavily favored tonight against a Phillies team that's got, 10 more wins than you?
Yes, but you're also,
you're at home.
You're at home. We went over the splits. Philadelphia is one game above 500 on the road this season. I do like Atlanta to take care of business over the course of this weekend. I think that we were a lot of doom and gloom in hour one.
For sure.
I had to be the voice of reason, which never makes me comfortable when talking baseball with Braves fans, because Lord knows I don't have anything optimistic to look forward to in my own baseball fandom. But I think the home cooking will be good for this team. I think having your next nine at home is very beneficial. And I think you get it started tonight. I like Bryce Elder at home. We went over the splits. His ERA is like a whole point better at home than it is on the road. And I just think this team, they respond well when they come back from a road trip. They've always seemed to respond well when they get back home after being on the road for a little while. So I like the Braves tonight. I think you should try to get down tomorrow if the schedule and weather permits. And I think Sunday you have a chance for a really fun pitcher's duel. I also think that this team knows what's in front of them in these next nine. But that it won't be, it'll be kind of hollow if you're able to take care of business against the Angels and the Orioles based on kind of what seasons those two teams are having. I think after the way the split went with the Mets and how bad the last two games went for the Braves in that four-game set, I think they need to find some success. To your point, that you, the phrase you used, you need to see the ball go through the hoop a little bit against a team that, although I don't necessarily always agree with how the Braves view others, you view the Phillies as a like-minded team.
Yeah.
You need to take care of business against a like-minded opponent.
The Phillies are your number one competition in this division and have been for the last decade is the way that I view it. I know that they had some down years and they had some injuries and they kind of went through a retooling process, but the Phillies have owned this division the last couple years, evidenced in the playoffs and by who hung the pennant last year. So the Braves did win their first series of the year against Philadelphia at home, which is worth acknowledging. It was 2+ months ago at this point, but it still counts the same, and they would love to do the same thing. I think that's my goal going into this weekend, John, is to take 2 out of 3 off those Philadelphia Phillies, see the ball go through the hoop, for lack of a better term, and get back on track. And I don't think, for what it's worth, I don't think you're off track. I just think this is kind of where you're at. It is what it is. The schedule's lightening up drastically towards the back half of the first half of the season and in the second half of the season. We've mentioned that billions of times on the show to date. Got to go win ballgames against quality teams, and the way that the pitching stacks up, this is the first time since HW was in office that Zach Wheeler isn't throwing against the Braves when this series comes around. So hallelujah, thank you Jesus, we don't have to play Zach Wheeler for once, because that happens literally every time, and the guy beats us, it feels like, every time as well. So I'm just appreciative we don't have to play Zach Wheeler this weekend, John. I've got a smile on my face right now about the Atlanta Braves.
This won't drive you crazy, this question here, but who... If you had to pick a player to come out of a slump this weekend,
oh gosh,
Sean Murphy, Ozzie Albies, or Michael Harris?
You got the Three Stooges.
Give me one. Who's going to come out and improve their batting average and improve their slash line over the course of this weekend?
Give me Murph. I like Murph. Give me Murph out of those three. I am, like, worried about Michael Harris's mental health, to be honest, and I'm not really being tongue-in-cheek or satirical either. I mean, like, the backlash on social media can't be easy to deal with, but also just, like, you know, most of the people that are listening have played sports, or if you haven't played sports, you can probably encapsulate in your mind, you know, what it looks like when you're not doing good at your job, right? I have shows where I walk out of the office some days where I'm like, man, felt like we did a really good job today. And I have shows sometimes where I walk out where I'm like, man, I really wish I would have done this different in this segment, or I think we could have done this better. This is like me having the biggest stinker of my life of a radio show for 4 straight weeks and like Ben potentially relegating me back to part-time. That's what's going on to Michael Harris right now. I think that we are 2 or 3 more bad games away from him being in Gwinnett for the foreseeable future. And I'm not exaggerating. I know he's making $8 million or whatever. I know that the options are bad. John, the statistics in the month of June are currently up there with one of the worst offensive months in the history of Major League Baseball, and that is not an exaggeration or hyperbolic in the slightest. He has been so bad, and he is getting worse. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this in my life. Michael Harris has a 170 on base percentage for a month. For a month of baseball in which he has played every game, his OBP currently sits 170, and he's getting worse. His last 37 games, he has a 495 OPS. To do that for a month and a half is almost impressively bad. Like, I'm not trying to rip the guy. I love Money Mike. I have a freaking jersey, dude. I thought this kid was the truth, just like all y'all did. This is bad right now, man. This is really, really bad. So I'm going to take the positive outlook on this. I'm not going to say anything negative about Michael Harris for the next 7 days. I'm not. I'm going to root for him like all heck. I'm going to wear my Money Mike jersey tonight watching the game. We're taking the complete opposite uplifting approach that we took with Chauncey Wiggins. And that one didn't work out in the NCAA tournament. But you know what? Second time's a charm here. Go Michael Harris. He's the one breaking out of the slump, and I'm changing my answer. I've talked myself into it in real time because this is what happens during the last segment of the week every week. Give me Michael Harris to hit a home run this weekend against the Philadelphia Phillies. Why not?
I am so glad you said that.
Screw it.
Do you want to know that Michael Harris has 3 home runs in the month of June?
Yeah.
He had 0 in May, he had 2 in April, and 1 in March.
Hey, we're improving at something. We're improving at something. You had that one against Milwaukee that was hit on an absolute rope. I remember that one. But yeah, in all seriousness, though, a 170 OBP for a month of baseball is generationally all-time bad to the point where I will be doing some data mining tonight and coming on Monday morning with the worst Major League Baseball months in the history of the league because Harris is up there.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a worse week than he's had in the last... You see what he's done in his last 7 days?
John, like, I know...
0.083 batting average, a 115 OBP, and a 125 slugging percentage.
John, I know we get negative at times. I promise, brother, if you were watching these ABs, like, you would be dying laughing with how comically bad it is right now. And I'm
Are you trying to get me to watch?
He is swinging at, like, legitimately everything. It's like if you were to give your new puppy the controller on MLB The Show,
right?
And you're just like, click the swing button, and they just kept slapping it with their paw.
If she was just chewing on the controller,
yes,
she could probably get more hits
playing
the show than Michael Harris in real life.
She'd strike out less. She's bound to take a couple pitches here or there. I can almost guarantee you that. So
you're probably right about that one. She may take a pitch or two.
Yeah, she's going to run around, get her zoomies out, and
yeah,
then come
exactly
back to the controller, and she's up 3-1 in a count, which is something Michael Harris has done twice all month. So there we are. In all seriousness, though, I think the Braves are going to win the series this weekend because this team has made no sense all year from start to finish. And what would they do after losing two straight? Beat the division leaders in 2 out of 3 at home to bounce back and give everybody a little more false hope headed towards the All-Star break. Sign me up for it. Give me a Money Mike home run and a Braves series win, John. Week was an absolute blast. Anything else to add before we get out of here, brother?
It's been fun. Looking forward to next week. More football talk for sure. And yeah. Braves take 2 or 3. Why not?
Why not, man? Go Michael Harris. Texter gets in. Why is he in the lineup? Brother, if I
said it moments ago, $8 million.
$8 million in politics and lack of better options in AAA. But yeah, it's been rough. Let's hope he can get it turned around because the Braves really need him or any sort of shot in the arm headed towards the weekend. Hey, ton of college football content coming y'all's way next week. Appreciate everybody that got in on the phone lines and the text lines. You guys are the best. John, great job as always this week. Quak and Ben up next with Out of Bounds. See you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend, everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.